Welcome to the Lead On Podcast. This is Jeff Orge, the president of Gateway Seminary, talking with you once again about practical issues related to ministry leadership. One of the very best things about being the president of Gateway Seminary is Beyond Teams. Beyond Teams are our program of sending students and faculty on short-term mission trips. Now, Beyond Teams at Gateway are now funded by Go Grants, which are financial resources we make available to pay for every qualified student that wants to go to have an international missions experience while they're a student at Gateway. This is a wonderful program of our school, really augments our curriculum, and helps us contribute more missionaries to international service over their lifetimes. Now, it's so fun to be president because these teams send me back photos and updates and stories about what's happening. And we have a team right now that's in Central America, and it's so exciting to see the work that they're doing. But this reminds me that a lot of you are also getting ready to do summer mission trips and short-term mission trips all around the world. I know this is true because in the last couple of weeks, I've received in the mail two different requests from people who know me asking if I will make a contribution to their summer missions trip fund so that they can go with their church somewhere in the world and try to make a difference with the gospel. And of course, my wife and I find a way to give a little bit of money to both of these needs. Summer missions, short-term missions, is it worth it? Is it a good use of our resources? Is it a valid way to help spread the gospel? Well, let's talk about that today. As we look at short-term mission trips, what are some of the positives, the negatives, and some of the keys to effectiveness to really doing these things well? Well, the first positive I want to talk about is this. Short-term mission trips are a source of new missionaries. I've talked often with the leaders of the International Mission Board, and they tell me that surveys show that one of the common denominators for almost all new missionaries is they started their missionary experience with a short-term mission trip. So, if you want to do the most important thing probably that you can possibly do to help young adults and teenagers consider the possibility that God is calling them to a lifetime of international service, take them on a short-term mission trip, because it is likely that through that means, God is going to stir something within them that puts them on the path to long-term international service. Doesn't have to just be young people, though. We have good friends who, in their middle years, went on an international trip, had the same experience. God stirred something deep within them and motivated them to commit themselves to international missions. They came home, reordered their lives, and have spent now more than a decade serving internationally as a result of that first short-term international mission trip they went on years ago. So, the first positive aspect of short-term missions is it can turn into long-term missions. In fact, it can turn into a career or a lifetime committed to missionary service. A second positive aspect of short-term mission trips is it connects Christians, particularly American Christians, to global needs. American Christians tend to see the world through their lens. We tend to think everybody has it about like we do, or if people in the world are somewhere struggling, it's only struggling defined by how people in our own communities are struggling. Well, that's just simply not the case. Traveling to missionary outposts around the world has helped me to see global needs up close, personal, and to understand the depravity, the disease, the dysfunction of so much that's going on in our world. I'm thinking right now about a trip that we made to an African country. Seeing people urinating in the streets. Seeing children playing around their hovels with no clothes. I'm thinking about another country where we saw families picking through garbage dumps, looking for scraps, either of food they could eat or of items they could sell. when I saw these two different countries and contexts and the people in them, it was heartbreaking and showed me the depth of global depravity, disease, dysfunction, the needs of people. And then traveling in other places in the world has also helped me to understand the global needs of religious lostness. I have been in a Muslim country and visited a mosque. I have walked through Hindu temples. I have been in other kinds of religious shrines. I've seen the best of what man-made or human-generated religious devotion looks like, and the hopelessness in the lives of the people who practice those faiths. Short-term mission trips are an opportunity for people to see global needs in ways that simply can't be experienced on a television screen or in some kind of a news source. This is a very positive result from short-term missions. A third positive aspect is increased generosity. Again, our mission leaders have the data, and they tell us that the comparative giving from people who go on mission trips to people who've never been on one is pretty striking in its disparity. When people go on short-term mission trips, they are very much more generous than people who've never been on an experience like this. So increased generosity, getting people to actually give more. So these three are what I would call sort of indirect results. You've got new missionaries, connectivity to global needs, increased financial resources. But the last one is, let's not forget this, another positive aspect of short-term missions is the gospel is shared, people are reached, churches are strengthened. The actual field work of missionaries is accomplished. And that is perhaps the very best result of short-term missions. People actually going to heaven as a result of the trip and the missionary work that resulted. Now, having listed these positives, what about some of the negatives? Well, the first one I want to talk about is cultural insensitivity. It is possible for a short-term team to do more harm than good if they are not properly equipped to deal with the cultural differences they're going to encounter when they go into different contexts or cultures. For example, I was told this story by a team leader who took a team to a country where rice was the primary staple and where, frankly, that was a good day if you had rice to eat. So the team arrived, and about the second or third day, they had rice again, as they did for every meal. And one of the team members with exasperation said, "Not rice again. Is all we're ever going to eat is rice?" Well, what she didn't understand was the family that was feeding them was going hungry so that they could serve their guests their rice. This level of cultural insensitivity undercut the effectiveness of the team because they did not have an awareness of what was happening in the culture, what generosity looked like, what sacrifice meant, and the limited food options that were really available. Cultural insensitivity. That's just one example. Americans often project their own expectations of how people should dress or walk or talk or eat or sing or preach or pray, live, work, relate. We project our cultural expectations, and we wind up doing more damage than good on our mission trip because we spend too much time critiquing and not enough time learning, too much time correcting and not enough time supporting the people where we're visiting. So, cultural insensitivity is one negative aspect of short-term missions. Another one is what I'll call methodological arrogance. Well, this is how we do it in our church, and it works where we live, and this is what our pastor taught us is the right way, and that's what we need to do wherever we go in the world. Methodological arrogance. It works for us. It's the best where we are. Therefore, it must be the best everywhere. I know one missionary told me the story of a U.S. megachurch that developed a gospel track that was very popular in their church. It was geared toward the needs of their community and was a helpful tool in sharing the gospel there. But they took that track around the world to a different culture, different context, different location, and started trying to share it and were frustrated by their inability to do so well and were resistant to the missionaries who tried to steer them to different methodologies. They were unwilling to admit that their track had some cultural biases in it, which were actually offensive where they were trying to share, and their methodological arrogance was keeping them from being able to do effective work because they had to do it just like we do it back home. A third negative aspect of short-term missions are what I'll call wasted resources. That's where you, as a team, go somewhere in the world and do something that you're just sure is going to make a difference, when in reality, you're just wasting your time. I have two different examples of this from people who work on mission field full-time, who've hosted groups in the past, and they illustrate how easy it is to waste resources while thinking that you're doing the right thing. So, what do I mean? Well, one of the missionaries that I've talked with about this lives and works in Mexico. And it's very popular for U.S. churches to take youth groups over the border to serve in Mexico in some way that they hope is meaningful and think is. This missionary said, sometimes teams come and they are so ill-equipped and so culturally insensitive and so without training that we say we can find something for you to do. And they say they'd love to come and they would like to paint something. So we have them paint, and he pointed to this building. We have them paint that building over there. It's been painted about every other year for the last several years. Wasted resources. I said, well, if a youth group contacted you or a church contacted you and said, we have this amount of money, we want to send the money along with our people to Mexico to paint something or to repair some building, what would be a better use of those resources? He said, oh, what would be better? Use the resources to send someone to this village who can teach people how to paint. And let me organize a class for young men who are looking for meaningful work, and let's put them through that training and then hire them to do some meaningful work in this community that would be a blessing to the whole community, and then celebrate their accomplishment with some kind of public ceremony in which the gospel could be shared. He said that's a much better use of these resources than sending a team down here to paint a building that doesn't even need it. But it's not quite as alluring. It's not quite as motivational. It's not as sexy, if you will, for a church to say, oh, we'll send some painting contractors or some teachers from a local vocational college. We'll pay for that to happen and buy the materials and host a week-long painting class, give these men an opportunity to learn a skill, then pay for a project to be done that they can earn a wage they can take home to their family, and then the project itself would be a blessing to the community. And then as a result of the celebration that comes from accomplishing that, we have the opportunity to share the gospel and talk about what it means in our lives. That's a much better use of the resources. Then another one. Years ago, I had a missionary in Moscow, Russia, tell me that a U.S. church contacted him and said, we want to come to Moscow and we want to hand out tracts and share the gospel with people. He said, well, I really don't think that's the best approach. Oh, no, it is the best approach. It's what we do. In fact, we've written a track and we've had it translated into Russian, and we're going to print thousands of them, and we're going to bring them to Russia, and we're going to distribute them. So he agreed to allow that to happen, and they came. They sent about a dozen people at $3,000 to $4,000 per person to stay for a week. And every morning, those people got up and went to the subways. And as people were going on or coming off the subways, they stood there and handed out tracts. And the tracts were tossed in the trash as fast as they were handed out, or dropped on the ground as fast as they were handed out. And this team would come back each day and talk about the success they'd had in sharing the gospel, and how they were giving the word of God out so freely to the Russian people, and how they just knew that God's word would not return void. And the missionary said, I was heartbroken because, first of all, they'd had this tract translated by someone in the U.S., not someone in Moscow. So the Russian was not the same in the vernacular of the reader that would be taking the tract in Russia. Second, people do not normally have things thrust upon them or handed to them like that in Russia, and so they were reluctant to take them. And when they did, and they saw it was a religious piece, they didn't know what kind of propaganda it might include. They just throw it away. He said it would have been so much easier and effective if that church would have just said, rather than pay for a dozen people to come over there and all this printing and all this transportation and all this shipping, we'd like to take the money instead and invest that in a ministry in Russia that's sharing the gospel on a college campus in a way that's really making a difference, and send people to work behind the scenes to help get that done. He said, we have that strategy in place, and it's very effective, and we have a great hearing for the gospel among young people who are going to make a real difference in this country in the future. So much more effective work could have been done if we hadn't wasted the resources of the time, money, and printing on something that just wasn't going to work. So, cultural insensitivity, methodological arrogance, wasted resources, and then the last negative aspect is when the long-term workers are undermined by the short-term team. You know, once the short-term team leaves after 10 days, the long-term missionary workers have to remain. They have to stay behind. They don't get to leave. And if the short-term team does damage to the reputation or the work or even the security of the long-term team, it can have a lasting negative effect on the work in that particular area. Now, let's be clear. I said at the beginning of this podcast that I am for short-term mission teams. I believe in them. We send them out at Gateway. I think churches should do this. I'm all for it. But I think we have to take seriously these negative aspects and then work to mitigate those so they aren't part of what we're doing on these short-term mission trips. So, having said that, let me close the podcast now with some keys to effectiveness in short-term missions. Number one, choose the team carefully. The team must have the maturity and the competence to accomplish what is being asked of them when they get to the field. Now, I know this is an arbitrary distinction, but there's really about three different levels of mission engagement. The first is very basic, and that's where a person crosses over into another place to share the gospel, and there's very little cultural adjustment. They do have to make some adjustment, but English can generally be understood. There's generally bathrooms that are available, and the food is generally similar to what they might have experienced at home. Then there's a second level, and that level is where things get a little more challenging. You're going to have to eat some weird food. People aren't all going to speak English. You may have to use translators. May not get a shower every day. May not sleep in a perfectly sanitary spot. But you'll make it. Then you got the third level. The third level are those primitive missionary places where there's no bathrooms, where there's a little hygiene, where you eat if you can and what you can and wherever you can, where you're trekking or hiking or physically exerting yourself to get the gospel somewhere. Third level. Now, not every mission team is cut out for all three of these levels. So you need to ask yourself, what is the maturity and competence needed for this particular project? What are the challenges that are going to be faced and the difficulties that are going to have to be overcome? What are the mission obstacles that we're going to have to meet? And in the context of answering that question, you'll know the kind of people you can recruit for your team. Choose your team carefully, matching the maturity and competence with the mission opportunity you've been given. Second, train the team and make it mandatory. No options. Train the team on things like culture, on missiology, on sharing the gospel. Train the team on demonstrating the right attitude, on monitoring and watching their words, on the security issues they're going to encounter. Train the team on getting out of themselves and seeing the world through a different lens and being comfortable doing that, or at least learning to be comfortable in doing that. Train the team. And don't let anyone go who hasn't been trained. You say, well, yeah, but somebody might not be able to fulfill it or might not. Then leave them at home. I'm serious about this. Short-term missions requires training about culture and missiology and gospel sharing, about attitude and about deference and about security. Short-term mission trip training is essential, and you can require it. Make it a mandatory part of the thing. You can't go unless you get the training. Third, decide before you go, affirm when you get there, and practice it whether you like it or not. Submit to field leaders. Let the local missionaries and the local nationals tell you what to do. Let the local missionaries and the local nationals tell you what to do. You do not know more than they do. You just simply don't. I've been on short-term mission trips before when things like this were said to me. Dr. Orge, we need to move on now. Okay. I didn't particularly feel any threat in the atmosphere, but the missionary who was with me said, we need to move on now. We don't need to be here any longer. Okay, then. Let's do that. I was on a short-term mission trip, and the missionaries, when we arrived, said, as long as you're in this community, you can be fairly open about the gospel. But when we leave this community and go into smaller towns nearby, you need to do exactly what we say and when we say it. Because in the smaller communities, they're going to be much more conservative, and they're going to be much more suspicious of outsiders talking with them about their religious beliefs. And boy, that was exactly how it played out. When we were in the larger city, it was really fairly open and people were very engaged and approachable. But then when we went into that smaller town, you could feel the difference. And I was so glad that the missionaries were coaching us about how to respond differently, even in different parts of their own country or context. Pay attention to what field personnel are saying. They know more than you do. You may say, but I'm bold, and God sent me here, and I've got the gospel to share, and I know what I need to do, and I know what I came for. Submit to field personnel. Missionaries and nationals know more than you do, and they're trying to help you and also trying to keep you safe and trying to preserve their own reputation and work after you're gone. So choose your team carefully. Train the team before you go, and submit to field leaders, missionaries, and nationals when you get there. Then number four, another key to effectiveness for short-term missions is do the project requested, not what you impose on others. Do the project requested. You say, well, but we don't want to do that kind of project. Well, then don't go. If you're requested to come and do street evangelism, go and do street evangelism. If you're requested to go and prayer walk a closed country, go and prayer walk a closed country. If you are requested to come and provide something like a vacation Bible school or a youth camp or some kind of an experience like that, go and do that. Don't mix these up just because that's what you're good at or what you think works. Submit to field leaders and do the projects requested, not what you impose. Number five, when you're on a short-term mission trip, connect with local people. Break out of your little group. spend time with people, even spending time with Christians from those other countries and continents and cultures, will shape your life. I'm thinking about one mission trip that we were on, and we were going to go to church on Sunday. They said it was a house church. We got there. We went up on the roof. I counted 42 people on that rooftop, singing, praying, hearing the word of God. What a powerful moment that was for me. There were only two of us on the team that went to that particular church, and so I had the whole morning just to immerse myself in the culture, the food, the singing, the language, the smells, all of it. And it so profoundly shaped me and my understanding of what the church looks like in that culture. Another opportunity I had was to connect with local leaders. I was doing some pastoral training in a context, and they said, would you like to go out for some food afterwards? And I said, yes, I'd like that. And they said, well, there's a restaurant. I said, no. Take me where you like to eat. They smiled and said, are you sure? I said, I want to go where you go. I want to be with you. Don't try to take me to the American place. Take me where you go. And they said, okay, let's do that. Man, it was a challenging meal in some ways, but it was also an enriching meal because I got to be with the people, to connect with local people, to eat and touch and worship and share life with them and be impacted by them. On that same mission trip, I was working in a team. There were two women and I, and I was sort of the escort, if you will. I was the man who was with them as they were in public and needed that kind of accompaniment in that kind of culture. But our strategy was to simply go to public places where women could engage women, and the women on our team would engage women and start talking with them, and pretty soon you'd have a group of women gathered, and they'd be sharing their lives and their gospel and all of that. And I was watching this happen, and this man came up to me and said, would you like a Coke? In good English. And I said, well, sure. He said, come. And so we stepped just a few feet away and went down a little, some stairs into his shop. And it was a shop, believe it or not, that sold air conditioners, little like room units and window units. And his English was pretty good. And so he said, I have a Coke for you. And so we sat and we drank a Coke and we talked about why I was in his country and what it meant and what the women were talking about and the gospel and all of that. And while he made no overture toward receiving the gospel, he was open to listening and talking about it with me. But mainly he just wanted to extend some hospitality to this strange American who was standing out there watching the women have a conversation. Man, that kind of connection with local people, nothing else is like it. Don't hide in your little group when you go on a mission trip. Get out with people and enjoy and learn from them. And then two last things. Keys to effectiveness. Share money carefully. Most Americans see need around the world and they think just giving money will solve it. And it might make your conscience feel better, but it's really not going to solve the problem where you're going. If you want to make a financial contribution to where you're serving, ask the missionary how to do it. Ask the nationals how to do it. Don't just capriciously start handing out money, but do it in the best way and in the right way that will really fit that culture and that context and make a real difference. And then the last thing I would say is within the guidelines of what I've described so far, share the gospel as often as possible. Look, you haven't traveled halfway around the world just to eat food or experience culture or meet new people. You've traveled around the world to share the gospel. So in every way, with every opportunity, in the most appropriate and effective ways you know how, say, you know, I've come here to talk with people in your country about Jesus. Have you ever heard about Jesus? Do you know his name? Do you know what he means to me? Sharing the gospel is the single most important thing you can do on a short-term mission trip. Well, today on the podcast, we've talked about how important it is to send people out on short-term missions. Our seminary is doing it. Based on the fact that I've gotten two requests in the past few days to help fund these in the lives of other people, I know churches are gearing up for this. And as we get closer to the summer, more and more of you are going to be organizing or going on short-term mission trips. They have very strong positive impact in the lives of people who participate in them. But let's avoid the negatives, cultural insensitivity, methodological arrogance, wasted resources, long-term teams undermined. Let's avoid all that. By doing these things I've described, choosing your team carefully, training them well, submitting to field leaders, and doing the project requested, not what you impose. And then while you're there, connect with local people. Be careful about how you hand out money, but in every way and with every opportunity, give out the gospel. I'm excited about what God's going to do this summer through short-term mission trips, not only from Gateway Seminary, but from churches like yours. This is a vital part of our mission strategy. Implement it as you lead on.